Welcome to Unprintable. I'm Jamie Kunzer, the entertainment editor at the Northwest Herald. You can always reach me at jkunzer@shawmedia.com. And today we have some exclusive interviews lined up for you. We'll be talking with the McHenry County Outdoor Theater owner, Scott Dean. The theater opens for the season this weekend with Captain America and Jungle Book. So it's a great place to go see a movie, make a memory. We also have Jason Frommer has an interview with I Fight Dragons guitarist Packy Lundholm, who recently finished a full-length solo album. But first, let's introduce you to some guests we actually have here in the studio with us. We have Jeff Cook and his wife Karen, who performs in a production that Jeff is doing called Meet John Doe at the Hidden Pearl Cafe in McHenry. And it opens May 12th and runs through May 22nd. And Jeff is here to tell us a bit about how it all came about. You have a new actual theater company, right?
It started out, I've always been a fan of classic movies. I kind of grew up watching them, got a lot of good male role model tips from the likes of Cary Grant and Jimmy Stewart watching old movies on WGN Channel 9. And as I grew up, I also developed a passion for theater and became an actor and did a lot of shows in McHenry County and the surrounding areas. But I always lamented the fact that you never saw classic movies brought to the stage. Periodically you did, sometimes as musicals you might see one. There were movies like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which was a play, a book first, and then became a play, and then became a movie. But to purely bring classic movies to life on the stage is something that I hadn't seen done. So I started investigating about 6 months ago, how to go about doing that. And I had my eye on several different movies and acquiring the rights to them and explored that a little bit. But I really wanted to get something underway right away. So I started looking in the public domain for movies that were out there that anybody could do anything they wanted with. So I found Meet John Doe, which is a 1941 Frank Capra film that was Oscar-nominated for Best Story. Frank Capra sold the rights to the movie in 1944, I believe, and the party that he sold the rights to forgot to renew the copyright or somehow fell through the cracks. So the movie went into the public domain. So one of my favorite movies of all times, It's a Wonderful Life. I must have seen it, 30 times. And it intrigued me that this was a Frank Capra film. And so I started reading the script, and it just resonated with me so strongly how the themes of the movie that was made in 1941 are still so relevant today, and how much has society, how much have people changed in that time. So I decided that this was the movie that I wanted to bring to stage. So I downloaded the script and adapted it into a stage play. And then it was a matter of finding a venue, and Dan Kearns, who owns the Hidden Pearl in McHenry, I don't know if have you ever been there?
No, I haven't. I've actually wanted to go there for a while, and I've heard that they've been doing quite a bit as far as promoting the arts in the area, a proponent of the arts. They've done some other things there as well.
Yeah, it's a really great little coffee shop, serves sandwiches and beverages, and Dan is very passionate about the arts, and this seemed perfect for him because a staged reading, which is how I decided I want to bring this to stage, is different than a play in the fact that there is no set to speak of. There's no costumes. There's nothing I like to say. There's nothing that hides the performances. I mean, it's very much boiled down to the very essence, character and script from the movie. And that was kind of where, in thinking of, I didn't want to just say Jeff Cook presents Meet John Doe. So that's where I kind of started thinking of different names. And that's where I came up with Film Stripped Productions.
Stripped down.
Because it's stripped
Got
down.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is your first under
This is the first
title
one.
Okay.
It's an experiment. I've never seen it done before. I'm kind of just doing it as I go along. Fortunately, I've been blessed with an amazing cast of actors, including my wife, who plays Ann Mitchell, the female lead, Mike Moylan, who plays John Doe, and I think it's a cast of 16 people.
Okay.
And they have, they have believed in this from the get-go, and they're giving it their all, and they're patient as I, go through and realize things that work, things that don't work, and try to strengthen it up. But it really is a unique way to present classic material. And I think that audiences will see something they've never seen before, will be exposed to the movie in a way that they may not have seen before. One of the things that's so surprising to me is how many people, when I started talking about this, I love Meet John Doe.
Oh,
it's
really?
One of my favorite movies. Yeah, but I'd never seen it.
No, I haven't either. Can you tell a little bit about the actual story of it?
Sure.
For those who have. I know it started, didn't it start Cary Grant?
No, it started Gary Cooper.
Gary Cooper, that's what I meant to say. Gary Cooper. It started. So tell us the story of it.
Sure. So the story takes place in 1941 at a newspaper, coincidentally enough, called The Bulletin, which has just been bought out by a very wealthy man named D.B. Norton. And he buys a newspaper and renames it The New Bulletin, a streamlined paper for a streamlined time, and slashes the staff. One of the columnists being let go is Ann Mitchell, under the pretenses that her column that she was writing is all fluff and it's not relevant anymore. And he wants, they want fireworks. They want people who are going to generate excitement and cause arguments. And, and so she decides to write this last column that she's going to put in before she leaves. And creates a story about a letter she received by a man who signed it John Doe, saying that he is fed up with the greed and man's inhumanity to man and all of the, all of the pettiness. And so he's decided to jump off the city hall roof at midnight on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Well, the letter gets published and it really strikes a chord with the readers, and they all agree, and they want to offer him a job, and they want to meet him, and he can be a spokesman, but he doesn't exist. So Anne hires a homeless man to play John Doe for the purposes of continuing this along, stringing it along throughout, Christmas, so that they can increase circulation and Anne can keep her job and, as kind of a publicity stunt, if you will. Only the movement continues to swell and continues to resonate with people until it becomes so strong that it almost becomes like a political movement without political assassination. So there's no, so immediately all of the powers and the politicians swoop in and want to get a piece of this. And it leads to, some very heavy, heavy material. I mean, it's kind of in typical Frank Capra fashion. There's, there's comedy and there's heartwarming, but there's also a tinge of darkness in it, which you see in a lot of his work. And this is very much in that mold. This came out, I believe, 8 years before It's a Wonderful Life. But throughout, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Meet John Doe, you can all kind of see it leading up to where It's a Wonderful Life was kind of his thesis on what he was trying to say. But again, if you think about what I just talked about, how much of that is still resonates today? That if something good happens, everybody wants a piece of it and wants to bend it for their own purposes. And, and people society is so insular and people don't know their neighbors, and you know, and I think especially given you know, society today and the election coming up, that is it's a very appropriate piece to be doing right now.
And Karen, and as far as your role, tell us a little bit about yourself first. I mean, have you acted in other things as well?
Sure, yeah. I've been acting in the McHenry County area for a little over 10 years now. But yeah, this was my first stage reading, and it's a really different experience, you know. I mean, for me, when I act at the very beginning, you know, that script is kind of my security blanket. So I don't get rid of it, which is really strange. And, you know, it's different to act and still have to portray the emotion and the movement and all of this going on while still holding that script. So it's been unique and challenging, but it's been great. I mean, it's...
And working with your husband?
Yes. You know, a lot of times we get to act on stage together, but this is great. And yeah, he's a good director. He got a great vision, so...
And you basically wrote the entire script from the movie?
Well, I downloaded the screenplay.
Okay.
So the script is the screenplay.
It's basically the screenplay.
But I had to adapt it. So a screenplay can get away with a lot of stuff by using montages, you know, different camera techniques to tell the story. We had to do it a different way, but still tell the story. So some stuff, unfortunately, had to be... You know, had to be left out. Nothing that affects the story at all, but just little things. I had to introduce one of the characters I introduce is a newsboy who kind of acts as a segue between time and space. So he, you know, as he's peddling his papers, he's talking about different things that are happening from point A to point B so that we can go to point B then and the audience won't feel left behind. And that's part of the challenge. In the script to Meet John Doe, there are 157 speaking parts.
That's a lot.
At the time, there were scenes that used the most amount of extras that have ever been used in Hollywood. Well, we have 16 cast members in a space that seats 55 people. So it was a huge challenge to figure out how you're going to communicate all the different characters and all the different locations, everywhere from the newspaper office to the top of City Hall on Christmas Eve and midnight, and how you're going to do that in a way that the audience will be able to follow along. I mean, it's easy for us. We have the script. We've been doing it for 5 weeks. You know, we know the story inside and out, but... To try to put yourself in the audience's viewpoint coming at it, and that will be the true test of whether this is something that will, you know, that we could do another one.
That's what I was going to ask. So what's next? Is this going to be a regular thing?
This is kind of its own thing. It's just the fulfillment of a dream of mine to bring a classic movie to the stage and just an exercise in the writing and pushing myself as a director to do things a different way. You know, if it succeeds, there are endless movies that are out there. There are, you know, if I choose to pursue getting the rights, that's one course, but there's a lot of great films still in the public domain. The one that I was looking at is DOA. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It was a remake with Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan in the 80s.
Okay.
But the original film is in the 1940s, and it's basically about a guy who begins when he goes into the beginning, he goes in and reports to the police he'd like to, you know, confess a murder, and they say, who was murdered? And he says, I was. And he's like, he's been poisoned, and he has 12 hours to find out who did it. So that's kind of a different thing. Another one is His Girl Friday with Cary Grant and Irene Dunne, which is a classic comedy that somehow found its way into the, you know, public domain. So there's a lot of different things we can do, but I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, first we have to put this on in 2 weeks. And
again, it opens May 12th. And tickets are $15 or at the door, $12 in advance.
They're $12 in advance, and people can get tickets at www.hiddenpearlcafe.com. $12 advance or $15 at the door.
Great.
And we have performances at 7 o'clock on May 12th, 13th, 14th, 19th, and 22nd. And then we have a special matinee on the 22nd as well at 3 p.m.
Must have been a lot of work for you guys, Karen. And I'm sure that this has been a long road for you guys doing this. You said you've been rehearsing for 5 weeks. Is this all you guys have been doing now for the past couple months?
Well, I think it's been about 5 weeks, but we only do 2 rehearsals a week. So while we're rehearsing, we're really trying to get a lot out of that time. We've been, looking for props. We went to the flea market to get props with our, assistant director. And, now we're down to the last 2 weeks of pulling it all together. And I think it's looking good.
And a lot of the people involved, are they a lot of people that are involved in a lot of the theater in the area?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's one of the things Jeff and I were talking about is, when we brought the cast together, he cast everybody. And we noticed everybody knows somebody. Mm-hmm. So there's nobody that doesn't know somebody from another show that they were in. And I think we range from everywhere from, McHenry, Woodstock area to the Libertyville area. So it's great that we've got a little bit of range on bringing people out to do this.
So why should we come to the show?
Again, I think that audiences would enjoy seeing a classic film brought to stage. I think the material is really relevant. I think the actors are very passionate. And I think it's something that you can't get from just going to any theater that you see. It's definitely different than a stage, than just sitting back and watching it. The audience is kind of immersed in the play. Right,
yeah.
And the actors are among you.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that it's the like I said, the material is classic. You can't go wrong with Frank Capra, and it's funny. It'll make you think. It'll tug at your heartstrings. I think it's just a very well written, and by the incredible actors who are taking part of it, very well performed piece. And I think that. That people will really enjoy.
And you can have a cup of coffee, right?
You can have a cup of coffee.
You
can have a sandwich.
Yeah, at the cafe. So wonderful. Thanks for coming into the studio today and telling us all about it. And we look forward to the show. And then you got to let us know if something else comes up, what your next project is.
It will do. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to have our interview with Scott Dean, the McHenry Outdoor Theater owner. The theater's opening up for the season this weekend, and we'll also have our Jason's interview with I Fight Dragons guitarist Packy Lundholm, who recently finished a full-length solo album.
Hi, everyone. This is Hub Arkish, executive editor of Pro Football Weekly, and I'm here to let you know that Pro Football Weekly is back. To celebrate, we're giving away a collector's edition hoodie a day for the next 60 days. Just go to profootballweekly.com/hoodie, enter your email, and if you've won, we'll email you right back. While you're there, check out the site. You want an insider's guide to the NFL? Go to profootballweekly.com for all the news and analysis you won't find anywhere else. Pro Football Weekly, the best coverage in the NFL since 1967.
All right, we are back, and I am in the studio with Jamie now, and we'll be actually talking about a little bit of what we got coming up, Jamie. We got Free Comic Book Day and May 4th, Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you.
That's right. That's right.
So nerds unite. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, no, you don't have to joke about that. I am all about nerddom and the unity of surrounding it. So let's talk about Free Comic Book Day first off. That's April 7th.
Whoops, May 7th.
Yeah,
wrong
May 7th.
Month.
Sorry, wrong. Now I'm living in the past. May 7th, We've got Free Comic Book Day. Who's helping us out with that? We've got some local shops and libraries.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. A couple of the libraries have teamed with, a couple businesses, Modern Age Comics in Algonquin and Crystal Lake.
Nice.
Looks like they are going to be giving free comics away through the Cary and the Crystal Lake libraries, which is pretty cool. They also have some events at their businesses in relation to the day.
Mm-hmm.
You can get comics there too, of course. And then also some other libraries are doing some free comic book giveaways. And I know that my Happy Place Comics, that's in Crystal Lake, they're also participating. So quite a few places to go around here.
That's a good name, My Happy Place. Happy Place is definitely something that involves comics or a variation of comics in some way, shape, or form. I love, obviously, comic book movies.
Yeah.
And so we've also got May 4th.
Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you. What are we doing for that? Is there some stuff going on at libraries?
Yeah, once again, the libraries. You got to get to those libraries.
Everybody get to the libraries. They are a great
free
place. They're free.
You're all about the free.
You can use them for so much stuff. My wife and I are huge proponents of the libraries. Wherever we live, we use them all the time. She's always ordering books in. Renting movies, video games now.
Oh, we're working on a story, too. You can actually rent a Roku from the library and bring it home if you don't have a Roku.
Insane.
Yeah,
isn't
that
cool? Did not know that.
I don't know. So cool. A couple of libraries. I don't know if all of them are doing it yet, but that's kind of the new thing. So.
That's really cool. Yeah, they're just a great – they're just a really great entity that you can get a lot of cool free stuff from and your taxes – pay for it.
Yeah, so go.
So it was free. Yeah, go to it. So anyway, I know Joliet's got a big Star Wars Day. The Joliet Public Library does something really huge. But what are some of the places around here?
So yeah, locally, I know that the Woodstock Library is hosting a free showing of Star Wars The Force Awakens. So
nice.
If you haven't seen it or if you want to see it again, I think everybody who's seen it probably does want to see it again.
Oh, I definitely want to see it.
And then
again.
I know that the Wakanda Area Library has a bunch of events planned. It looks like outside of libraries, we have Barnes & Noble and Crystal Lake. They're having a free Star Wars X-Wing Learn to Play event. Now, Jason, you might have to help me out with that. I don't really know what an X-Wing Learn to Play event is.
Well, an X-Wing is actually a ship flown by the Rebels.
Okay.
And it is called an X-Wing because the wings of the ship separate to create an X type thing. So it looks flat.
Got it.
And then the wings will open up and it looks like a cross section on this like long, long pointy front of where the cockpit is. And so it'll open up and look like a big X when it's flying. So that's why it's called an X-Wing. And then you've got TIE Fighters, which are the Empire ships. And they're the Imperial, star-like fighters. And they look like little bow ties almost. So that's kind of, TIE Fighters and X-Wings.
Got it.
That's how it all works in. So I'm wondering, this X-Wing Learn to Play, probably for kids, I probably can't go down there get in.
Well, it actually says
you think?
Ages 14 and older. It doesn't say, it doesn't have a limit for how old.
I thought it was going to be like between 3 and 12.
No.
Awesome.
This is an older one. They do have stuff for younger kids, though, if you're looking for that. It says they have some trivia game, a costume contest, a special Star Wars story time, which would be kind of cool.
That sounds really cool.
So you're encouraged to dress in your costume, so put your stormtrooper outfit on. Okay.
Oh yes. I don't have a stormtrooper outfit, but I will have something of the ilk, and I will definitely be wearing it to that event. So speaking of really nerdy things, we've got a sponsor, Loot Crate. Are you familiar with Loot Crate, Jamie?
Not really, no.
Well, let me enlighten you a little bit about Loot Crate. So Loot Crate is a monthly box that you get shipped to your house, and it's full of really great nerdy, geeky, gamer gear that you can get, and it's all exclusive items that you'll get through Loot Crate. And right now, if you go on lootcrate.com/Shaw, use the promo code Shaw, that's S-H-A-W, you will actually get $3 off a new subscription to Loot Crate. And they have really cool themes every month. Like sometimes they had a Versus theme a while ago, and you got a Street Fighter headband, a Ryu headband, and maybe some sort of, I think there was this thing called Super Fight, which is a card game that's very, very funny. It's like, it's in the same vein as Cards Against Humanity, where it's just kind of like you try to make funny things, but it's more of like an argument where you'll say, like, why does this person win this fight over the other person's card that I laid down? and it's pretty humorous. So they had Quest, which was a theme last month where they had Labyrinth themed merchandise that was in there. So you get you typically get a few items in there, and it's under $20 a month. And like I said, if you use the promo code Shaw and you get a new subscription, you get $3 off of that. So go there, save yourself some $3, which that can buy you something good, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe you want a small coffee from Starbucks. Maybe you want a bottle of water at the movie theater you're going to. $3.
Yeah, that's about
You've
what
got it
is.
Now.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies, we've got an interview that you did with Scott Dean.
Very exciting. Yeah, the McHenry. It's in McHenry Outdoor Theater. Always a big, big event for many people in the area who are fans. It's always an experience to go to that theater. So, yeah, Scott Dean tells us all about this season, what's coming. I know we have a lot of big movies this summer, I know. So it should be a pretty good season.
Excellent. Well, all right, Jimmy, let's take a listen to your interview with Scott Dean.
Oh, and if you want to find out about about the theater, I wanted to throw this out here to go to goldenagecinemas.com. That's your place. Or else go to McHenry Outdoor Theater on Facebook. So he's really
into
social media.
Yeah,
so
he's huge on social
media. All kinds
of
info there. So
he's all over that. So, yeah. Updates by the minute. Okay. All right. Now for real, we're going to go to your interview.
Great. So, hi, Scott. We're real excited about the outdoor theater opening this weekend, Captain America and Jungle Book, right?
Yes. It's the sure sign that summer's right around the corner.
Favorite in my family. We always get there early, get in the front row so that we can play catch and even bring... like a pizza, and we just make it a whole night. So I love it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who line up really early because they want to tailgate, play ball with their sons or grandsons, granddaughters. There's a lot of fun to be had even outside of just watching the movie.
Definitely, and that little grassy field gets a lot of use right before the
it does
the nighttime starts.
It really does.
So I know we had a little bit of a delay this year. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about it. I know you had some medical issues, and I know had to put it off a week or two. So you're doing good now?
Yes. Well, typically, for all the years that I've been there, we have always opened the first week of May. And this year, you know, Jungle Book opened on April 15th, and we've had some unseasonably warm weather this season. So I thought, you know, why not open a few weeks earlier?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I had to have surgery, multiple surgeries, which kind of put me out of commission. And we weren't able to open early like I was hoping. So we are opening on time this year, but okay. I was hoping that we could open earlier this year. But regardless, we're ready to go for this weekend.
And we'll take it. So how long you've been doing this? How long you been with the theater?
I've been at that theater since 2006.
So
but I've
years.
Only been the owner-operator on my own since 2012.
And how would you say, I know that there are still a few scattered outdoor theaters, but not many as many as there used to be. How have you survived this long?
Well, I think we've really done a good job of catering to families and making this a clean, affordable, and family-friendly place.
Mm-hmm.
And we've put a lot of work into the facility and maintaining it well. I think the public appreciates that and they support us. The community has just been unbelievable in their support of the outdoor theater, and they are really the ones who have kept us alive through all these years.
Yeah, and you're very popular and active on social media, I know, with your Facebook page.
Yes.
Yeah, very personal.
I love doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a couple of years back, if you want to talk a bit about the process, I know you had to get some funds raised. You had to update the theater, the cameras, and that sort of thing, and that was kind of a tough haul there for a while, wasn't it?
It was. It was a scary time because everything we had run 35mm film, just like all other theaters had been doing, and Hollywood had made the conversion from film to digital. And then, so if you wanted to play a movie, you had to have digital equipment, mm-hmm. which runs approximately about $100,000.
Yeah.
And for being a seasonal business, that's not something we could afford. Mm-hmm. So Honda had a program called Project Drive-In, and all you had to do was go on. This was a nationwide contest and vote for which theater you wanted to see receive the equipment. And we won. We were one of the top five vote getters in all of the country, which is amazing, yeah, especially right. when you consider, you know, there were places in San Francisco and Orlando, you know, bigger cities that didn't get as many votes as Little McHenry. So that says something about the people who live here.
Most definitely. Now, do you probably have memories of going to the theater as a kid, the drive-in?
Oh, some of my earliest and best memories are being there, yes.
Yeah, I took my kids, I know you guys have that retro time more in the fall, right?
right.
And one of my first movies with my kids at the outdoor theater was E.T. there on a retro night, and I know they still talk about it. Yeah, they still talk about it today.
Yeah, we may be playing that again this year.
Oh, really?
I'm looking into it. Oh, yeah.
And what else are you thinking about?
Well, I don't know. I've been trying to think of some really different ones that would still be popular. Mm-hmm. But I think I'd like to do a Labyrinth and Neverending Story.
Very cool.
I think that might be a fun one to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Really, the most popular ones always seem to be from the 80s.
Yeah.
So I think I might throw in a few more 80s themed weekends.
It's that where you can introduce the kids to the ones that you loved when you were growing up, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so what other movies are you anticipating? I know you're a big superhero fan, right?
I am, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so what's big for you this summer?
Boy, this summer we're loaded. We've got, I think the biggest movie this summer is going to be the Finding Nemo sequel, Finding Dory.
Yeah.
That comes out. We've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Independence Day 2, and obviously this weekend, Captain America Civil War, which is going to be just a really, really huge movie. And then there's X-Men and Angry Birds, the movie, which I am kind of excited to see. It looks funny. So this summer is just jam-packed. Every single week has got just a huge hit.
Yeah.
So I've got my hands full trying to decide which movies are going to play on just the one screen that we have here.
Right. You need a couple screens.
I do. I need like three or four more.
Any other promotions or anything you want to mention going on this summer that you guys have random things every once in a while?
We always have things in the works, but really right now I'm trying to focus on the fall throwbacks because that does take a lot of time to put together. So that's the one promotion we're working on. And we do have something in the works with, Volo Auto Museum, who we work with quite a bit during the drive-in season. So we're working on a few really interesting things. I think we're going to have another superhero night.
Awesome.
In August when, Suicide Squad opens up. So that'll be fun. But I'll have more details on that probably around June.
And so why, if I've never been, why go to the outdoor theater?
Probably because it's an experience. It's a movie experience unlike any other. It's a beautiful summer night. The stars are out. You can tailgate. You're making memories with your family and friends. And then the movie comes on, and it's on this big screen. And with this digital projector, you can't find a better picture. And it's just so nostalgic. It's kind of like stepping into a time machine, and it's really you'll remember your visit there for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I know I will. I'll never forget going there with my grandparents and parents, and it makes for a special night.
How did you end up owning the theater?
Well, I've been working in movie theaters my whole life, and the opportunity just kind of fell into place, and I jumped at it. It's been a dream of mine to do this, and I'm loving every second of it.
It's a pretty cool job, I have to say.
It is. It is. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, especially I've got a great staff, and I even have my dad, who's retired. He works there, so we get to have some cool father-son bonding moments in the concession stand. And it's, you just can't beat it. It's not a job. It's just a pleasure to do what I'm doing.
And any tips for people that are going out? I know when we come, like I said, we usually come early because we want that front row, because we like to hang around in the field and stuff. And we actually even take right. our seats out of our van and turn them and sit in those on the ground. any other
tips?
That's
the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest tip I would have is bring a portable radio. Okay. That way you can sit outside, not have to drain your car's battery by turning on or tuning into the FM frequency. So just bring a portable radio, sit it outside with you, and then you'll get some really quality stereo sound to go along with the movie.
Very cool.
And I would also recommend bring a Frisbee or something. Bring mm-hmm. something that you can, you know, like you were saying, play around in the grass with.
Yeah, we usually bring the softball and some gloves and stuff like that. So
there you go.
Yeah, and we always bring supper. I don't know, because we get there early enough. That's what we do. So
yeah, why not? I mean, set up a table, chairs. You got plenty of time if you get there early to do whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, of course, you'll need a blanket if it's cold, but we're hoping for some nice weather.
Yeah. Well, it looks like this weekend is supposed to be pretty nice. So that's the one thing I can't control is the weather. but it looks like we're in good shape for this weekend.
How many people do you typically get it? I mean, it probably varies so much, but on a weekend.
It so much plays into it. Yeah. You know, the how long a movie has been out for. Also, what the weather is like, or sometimes it's not even what the weather is like, but what the forecast is, because that a bad forecast, even if it's wrong, can scare people away or have people change their plans. But mm-hmm. we can fit about 900 cars in there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And if the weather is right, if everything lines up perfectly, we'll fill the place up.
Wow. And you got Captain America and Jungle Book starting, and then
yes.
that'll be a couple weeks with that?
Yes, I'll have that for about 2 weeks. And then the third week of Captain America, I will play Star Wars The Force Awakens after that.
With Captain America?
Yes, that'll okay. be the final week of Captain America.
Very cool. And then anything after that that you can let us know or not announced yet?
I think we have Angry Birds. I don't have my schedule in front of me, but I think Angry Birds is the next movie after that.
Oh, okay.
The next new movie.
Very cool. Anything else you want us to know this summer?
No, I just I can't wait to see everybody. My favorite time of the year is opening this drive-in and seeing all the friendly faces and the familiar faces that have been supporting us through all these years. And I just can't wait. I just want to see everybody. It's been a long winter, so this is going to be a good time.
Definitely. And, well, we really appreciate your talking to us, and I guess we'll have fun this summer.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So speaking of interviews, I've got an interview with Packy Lundholm. And he's the guitarist for I Fight Dragons, if people are not aware of that. I Fight Dragons did the theme song for the Goldbergs. They also have a huge vinyl that they released. They had a Kickstarter for it, released the vinyl for I Fight Dragons, and it was a huge success. The guitarist, Packy Lundholm, decided to do a little solo thing, and the album he released is called American Soccer. I had the chance to sit down and talk to Packy for a little while, so let's take a listen to what Packy and I discussed. So, American Soccer is a little bit different than what the other stuff you're doing with I Fight Dragons. What kind of created that departure from the I Fight Dragons sound to the American Soccer sound and some of the sounds that you have
sure.
on your EP?
Okay, well, if anything, with regards to my kind of musical influences and upbringing and the type of stuff that I make, if anything, I Fight Dragons is a departure from my usual
gotcha.
Musical identity. You know, for me, a lot of the music that I listen to, a lot of the music that I make, sort of comes from I suppose more of a retro type of standpoint, a bit old school, a bit 70s and 60s kind of sounds and,
yeah.
That kind of thing. Whereas the I Fight Dragons thing is, it's much more modern, much more geeky, much more, you know, I mean, it's retro in that it's using, you know, Nintendo and Game Boy sounds and stuff like that.
Right,
but
right.
The songs and the production are very modern. So, you know, it's funny. A lot of people who hear my music, I might identify me as the iFly Dragons guitarist first. You know, if anything, this is more my home base, and iFly Dragons is a bit of a departure off of that.
Right, and I was going to say, after I listened to this album, I definitely got that 70s feel that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was informed that you also have a Traffic tribute band, which, after hearing this album, made total sense to me.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's kind of a newish thing, that band. We're called 40,000 Headmen.
Nice.
And we've played one gig so far. We got another one actually this week, at Martyrs in Chicago. And so Traffic has been one of my favorite bands of all time, and they're certainly an influence, you know, one way or another on what I do, for sure. Steve Winwood's one of my favorite vocalists.
Nice.
And keyboardists of all time, so he's a big factor in my sound, for sure.
Awesome. So you've got your 2013 EP, Now Is the Time. I think it was 2013, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so you've got Now Is the Time. You performed, or you played all of the instruments on there and provided all the vocals for that. And
yeah.
Then the American Soccer album is you and a bunch of other people coming together on there. What are, you know, those are kind of like two totally different animals. What was different about recording American Soccer than recording Now Is the Time?
So with Now at the Time, it was a very enclosed process. It was basically just me and my producer Jim Tullio, kind of just tracking stuff one on one. We did it all at his place, at his studio in Evanston, and we kind of just did it. You know, it was all me. It was, and you know, eventually then I could lay it on people, and that was, you know, that was the product. That was the end thing. I decided with this record to just get some more people involved. For one thing, some of the songs that, you know, as I wrote them and I demoed them, started to have more instruments on them than I could do. Things like saxophones and trumpets, and you know, I had a string section on one song, and these are things I was just doing synthesizers. I was using the computer to get those sounds. And when it came time to make the record, I was like, well, you know, I can't cheat myself. I got to get the real thing going. So I started, you know, calling up some friends of mine who play horns and stuff like that. And I also started to realize that there were some vocal elements on this record that I would love to have had other voices doing. You know, it gets kind of boring, or it gets kind of stale when you've got the same voice just stacked on itself, unless you're Freddie Mercury or something, you know, really rad. to have a little bit of variety in, you know, and get some female vocals on and stuff like that, just kind of like, you know, enriches stuff. So, before I knew it, I found myself kind of calling, you know, all kinds of people to come just lend a hand and do whatever. And even occasionally doing instruments that I could do, like percussion or bass on one tune, I would have, you know, friends of mine come and play and just do their own thing to it. And that ended up being a really interesting experience, because for once, I was really experiencing somebody else handling my babies. You know, I've never had that really before.
Right.
At least as far as the studio goes. So, you know, just to have other, and I think it makes the record more interesting sounding from that standpoint, because, you know, even if I could play the percussion on a thing, to have somebody else's perspective on it and someone else's timing and their own personal rhythm to things,
right,
you know, kind of gives it a little more life force, a little more character that I can't do on my own. Plus, it was just so much fun to share in the opportunity to be creating and working on that stuff. I spend a lot of time, you know, a big part of my career is being a kind of a studio musician, a session musician, and being that guy who's handling people's babies. I wasn't used to being on the other side of that transaction. And that was really eye-opening to me as far as what kind of responsibilities that you have as a session player and as an artist bringing in session players, you know, to them.
Right.
So it was really cool. I hope to do it a lot more with future records, to have a lot more people play on them and stuff, and not just be selfish and keep it to myself.
Gotcha. So I was actually going to say, there is a huge sound on this album, and I can tell that you've incorporated a lot of people into it. I didn't get a chance to look into the credits on it, but how many people would you say you had involved on this thing? Because it definitely sounds like there were a lot.
Yeah, it adds up. I counted it up at one point, and I think it works out to somewhere around 20,
wow.
20 or 21 people.
Wow.
Certainly not all at the same time,
right,
but yeah, throughout the record in the various roles. Yeah, and I think, yeah, because having extra vocalists kind of thickens up the roster quite a bit, for sure. Yeah, because let's see, I think there were three horn players, three string players, and then probably, well, it's like six, and then I got another 10 or so people singing, and then my brother plays bass on a song, my other brother plays guitar on a song, and yeah, it just added up pretty quickly, which I was really excited about.
That's very cool, very cool. So do you plan on, do you want to focus more on your solo stuff, or do you plan to kind of go back to I Fight Dragons?
Sure. Well, you know, they sort of coexist.
Okay.
My solo thing, I consider the solo records and everything sort of an aside to my main career as a player, as a producer in my own right,
right.
And studio guy, and as a member of I Fight Dragons, of course. So it's not something that I pursue full time.
Mm-hmm.
Being in a band, an original band like I Fight Dragons, I'm aware of just how much it takes to get that career off the ground and make something of it, and I simply just don't have the time or energy to really go all in like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So it is a little bit more for my own satisfaction, get the people that, you know, want to hear it to hear it, you know, and do my thing. However, that said, I'm so excited by this record. I love it so much that it's starting to become apparent that I should get a band together and try to play some gigs.
That was going to be my next question.
You know,
yeah.
With so many people playing out, they're all like, hey, by the way, you know, if you're going to do some shows, give me a call.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, so I've got a bunch of people who would want to do it.
Very
and,
cool.
And I'm thinking about at least doing a, you know, a record release show in a few months once the vinyl is all pressed.
Nice.
You know, try to find a nice little venue and just, you know, kind of play the tunes for whoever's interested.
Well,
plus,
definitely,
you know,
keep me informed.
Anybody
on that.
Who ordered the record in Chicago can come to the show, and I can just hand it to them directly,
great.
And not have to ship it or go meet them somewhere.
It's awesome. That's
kind of a two birds with one stone kind of thing.
That is awesome.
So you know, if I get that band together and it feels good and you know something's really clicking with it, you know, I may very well. I may have no choice. Just keep it going. So we'll see.
Very cool. So yeah, that was actually, you answered a couple of my questions there. I was asking about the tours, but that would be very cool. I think a record release show sounds awesome if that's what you're going to
sure.
do. But what was the driving force to, you know, I love vinyl, so it
mm-hmm.
makes sense to me, but what was your end all be all decision to release this on vinyl?
Well, I grew up with vinyl. My parents, we didn't have a CD player in the house until pretty remarkably late in the CD era. So I grew up on my parents' record collection. I've always kind of felt a connection with the format. And I've been collecting vinyl since high school, maybe even a little bit earlier than that. And so there's something that I love about that experience. And that sound, you know, warts and all, I think there's something to that. And, so it was only fitting to me that I would put my records out on vinyl, you know, as long as I could afford to.
Excellent.
And that's, you know, and that's why I've been doing these last two records I've done as kind of Kickstarter style mm-hmm. crowdfunding, you know, people pre-order the record and I raise the funds to be able to press it on vinyl, which has worked out very well these last two go around. So there was something really, just really, really satisfying about dropping a needle on my own record and hearing myself come out of that wax. You know, so
I bet,
it's just kind of that life goal to be able to hear, you know, myself like that. I remember actually, you know, as kids, my brother Chris and I would record on their little cassette tapes and stuff, and we would actually fantasize about hearing ourselves on CD. We'd be like, man, can you imagine like hearing us playing and looking at a little timer and the thing is, you know, showing how many seconds have passed by. Whoa, wouldn't that be cool? And now awesome. It's kind of full circle back to like, yeah, can you imagine like putting a needle on this and hearing yourself?
Right.
So, yeah.
So who do you, who did you press through? Who did you have this album pressed through?
So I use a manufacturer called Gotta Groove Records, mm-hmm. and they're based in Cleveland. They actually, they did the I Fight Dragons record. That
oh, nice.
Put out.
Okay.
So they're really great. They I believe they do the pressing for Mobile Fidelity, which is like a an audiophile label that does re-releases and remasters that sound just amazing. So they're trusted by some very demanding people. Excellent. So and I had a couple records that they pressed in my collection, just the stuff that I enjoyed anyway, and they sounded great and. I just thought, well, these are my guys. These are my people.
Excellent.
So they've been great to work with. And their own website has a crowdfunding platform built in. So basically, I just direct people to that page, which they run. And so they know what's happening financially with the record. And, you know, I just kind of, the money kicks right back into them. And then they press the record and it's good to go. So
nice.
It's been a really easy process. It's made it really quite fun to do.
Awesome. So off of, I got a couple more questions for you and then we'll kind of wrap
sure,
it up here.
Yeah.
But off of American Soccer, I just want to know, what was your favorite track to record?
Ooh, man, favorite track to record. That's a tough one. There were so many different experiences in the recording of all these different songs that they all kind of stand alone. But I think probably... my favorite one would probably be Young Magdalene,
nice.
Because that has a really fun horn section on it.
Yeah,
that we just had a great time kind of showing them the ropes, getting them to play the parts, and also just the experience of recording them and trying to get a very blown out Beatles-y, you know, Got to Get You Into My Life sound,
right,
where
right.
it sounds like the horns are just like making your speakers sizzle and, you know, just doing that, getting all that, those kinds of sounds and everything was a whole lot of fun to do. So I'd probably say that either that or Green from
nice.
The standpoint of, I had a whole bunch of friends in to come sing sort of like a gospel choir in the last chorus. And I had people, coming in at all different times and, recording as a group, recording separately. A friend of mine who's in the Army band in North Carolina
mm-hmm.
actually recorded a vocal part at his base in North Carolina and emailed it to me. So it was kind of a cross country affair. Yeah.
It's awesome.
And his voice really tied it all together. So I'm glad we pulled that off. It was the kind of thing I'd have a friend over, you know, for some beers and just like talking and stuff and be like, hey, do you want to sing on this track? Like, get up. And we just like fire up the mic and go. So,
nice.
But yeah, I'd say somewhere between those two is probably my favorite. But
excellent. And then finally, I know you built a guitar that uses the shell of an original NES console.
Yes. I can't take credit for building it.
Okay.
It was a custom build, but yeah, there was this company. Oh, what were they called? Retro something. Ah, crap. There's a few people doing it now, but yeah, about
okay.
5 years ago, we had custom ordered the NES guitar, and yeah, that thing was a trip.
That is awesome. I was wondering if you had anything else in the works like that. You know, that you're gonna use on tour, maybe just kind of a visual. Awe-inspiring
thing. Sure. Oh, that's a good question. Instrument-wise, I don't think we really do right now, other
okay.
than the fact that we all just got some color-coded microphones.
Nice.
You know, in I Fight Dragons, we're all kind of color-coordinated
right.
as far
got the red,
as the individual
yellow, yeah.
people.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, so like I'm the green guy,
yeah.
you know, Brian, the lead singer, is blue, and Hari on bass is yellow. So we got these microphones that are actually like really great mics too, but they come in custom colors. And Brian was like, oh, well, this is an obvious choice.
Nice.
So so he got these different colors, and we actually have like our mic cables and stuff are all color coded as well, which makes for really easy, you know, organization of
right.
stuff, but also looks really cool on stage, and it look, you know, it kind of matches all of our individual colors and stuff. And our, you know, we've got shoes and stuff that we wear that represent our colors and everything like that. So, but no wacky instruments or anything at this point. You know, the NES guitar, as sweet looking as it was, and as tied into the whole theme as it was, really sounded crappy. So, and it played like a Kleenex box. You know, it was really really gnarly. But it sure was a great sight.
Yeah, it looks cool. That's for sure.
All that. Yeah.
So I guess one more question, and then I'll let you go here. The Mega Man collections came out not that long ago. How hyped were you for that?
Oh man, yeah, way hyped. The problem though is that anytime I try to play Mega Man now, I realize just how insanely hard those games are.
Right, right.
And it's unbelievable.
There were no save points back in the day.
I'm sitting there like, how many hours did I spend as a kid getting good at this? Because I know I was good at this.
Right.
And there's no way I could have done this in a reasonable amount of time. I should have been reading. I should have been doing something else.
Something much more productive.
Something more productive, probably. Or maybe not. I mean, who knows?
I'd leave the NES console on after I went to school because I knew I got a point that I wouldn't pass. And you come home and you pray that it wasn't flashing on you or something when you got back.
We had, like, notebooks full of the password charts and stuff. Yes. And it was, it was dumb.
It was very
remember,
dumb.
I think there was a game. I think it was Robin Hood. It was a Robin Hood Prince of Thieves game.
Yeah.
Which was really, really awesome. And my brother Chris got really great at it. And that was definitely one that we had to leave because there was no saving. And
yeah,
I don't know how you would even be expected to complete that game in one sitting because it was like so insane. So we would like very gently push the console back, keep it on, go to school, come back, you know, pretend to be sick the next day, stay home and try to beat it. All that. It was just,
memories. Well, Packy, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Unprintable. It's been fantastic. And anytime you want to talk video games, like if you got some time, I would love to just talk a little.
Awesome. Awesome. Sounds good, man.
Hey,
thanks so
again.
Much for having me.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Smoke, strike up the band, a whole new you is showing through. And if you want to see young Magdalene, she has to want to see your face again. It's a lonely time without the shine.
All right. So, Jamie.
Yes.
How was it hosting today?
a learning experience.
Did you like it?
Yes, definitely good. A learning experience. We'll get better as we go, I hope. At least I hope I will.
Oh, we're always getting better. You're doing fantastic.
It was fun. It was definitely fun.
Good. I'm glad. Okay, as always, this has been Unprintable. I'm Jason Frummer. You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Frummer. That's JasonPFrommer.
And I'm Jamie Kunzer. I'm the entertainment editor for the Northwest Herald. You can reach me at jkunzer@shawmedia.com.
As always, you can follow us on Blog Talk Radio or iTunes or Stitcher. We're part of the Shaw Media Podcast Network. We'll catch you guys next time.